gap is like theology, gap is like theology, or something like eschatology. Hallelujah. Eschatology is from eschatos. And on this final day, this last day, I'll pour out of my spirit. Eschatos. Hebrews 1:3, in this last day, says, spoken to us in his son. However, we said that there is no way to talk about our study of God without talking about our study of who? Our study of Christ. However, we also need the foundation of our Christology. Beneath our Christology lies the Trinitarianism doctrine, right? We said the Trinitarianism doctrine is not explicitly written in the Bible. It's kind of, you guys remember? But we have operations of the three Godhead, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. We also said that the New Testament, just manage that the New Testament doesn't also explicitly state it. For example, Matthew 28:19 says, oh, I'm telling you, not many of my 19, go there for me called Renishas disciples, right? Teaching them, it says baptizing them in the name of the Father, right? Son, and of the Holy Ghost, 2 Corinthians 13:14. And says, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, says the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit. So Paul again is underlining Trinity. I don't think I wrote it here. Again, Trinity is was the first person, the first person that used the word Trinity in the Bible. His name is Theophilus, not Sunday, or Antioch. He said that he stated that in the late 2nd century. The first defense of the doctrine was brought about by Tertullian, who brought this about in 150 to 160 AD. And the reason why I actually said this is because if there's something I want us to really reach out to or do personally, is to try to see what happened after the resurrection, after the Acts 28, 100 years, that's during Emperor Nero's time. And how is it consistent?
Sorry, during the 100 years.
During the 100 years and afterwards, what happened afterwards? And because, of course, they didn't mention Trinity in the Bible, so why are we using Trinity now? Do you understand what I'm saying? And concept like Trinity, and of course, we mentioned it together that Pentecost doesn't mean moving of the Spirit, right? Abi? Mm-hmm. We know that Pentecost rather is a feast that is celebrated 40 days after the Passover. Is it 40 days now? Or 10 days? No, it's 50 days now. 50 days after the Passover. Yeah. So, what's the Passover? The Passover is what you call what Jesus did. He broke bread and then he gave wine. But because of that's not really what we're talking about today. We're not looking at that together. Should we drink wine? Or should be drunk or anything. And the Sam was here on last week Saturday. And we spoke for a long time. I asked him a question. We were talking, and I said, again, I don't want to be on the divide. So it's not be against or for coming. I said, if we agree both together now. We're not arguing. We're just talking. I said, if we agree both together, that communion is a great thing, which it is. And he just said, do this in remembrance of me. I said, but we're not following Jesus' commandment. We said, of course, they were not drinking non-alcoholic wine. And we both agreed. We think they were. That's a discussion for another time. Of course, they were they must probably be drinking, they said, grape juice. I said, but the one in 1 Corinthians 11. I said, will you drink grape juice? I must probably say in 1 Corinthians 11 that somewhere, Tom had eaten this thing and got drunk. Yeah. You guys, you know, I said, if they got, should you get drunk by drinking locus in me? Of course not. And I said, no, just some questions that will get you thinking. And I'm just trusting that that's the entire source of this Bible study. And so that, you know, whatever you hear, you get to check it out. Do you understand what you're saying? Let's quickly look at, do we have the time now? Because I want us to finish before 5. Now let's check something together.
Oh God.
Look at Romans chapter 9. So we've been able to answer a question on what is Christology, what is Trinitarianism. I know we didn't mention something about the name of Jesus. Again, we talked briefly about why the resurrection is important. Sin. I think sin, I just mentioned briefly, and I mentioned two persons' name. I mentioned Augustine. And I mentioned Pelagius. You should check on them. Very important for your Bible study. Augustine actually stated and said that we have all sinned from your mother's womb. Again, you don't get you thinking. If we have all sinned from our mother's womb, that means that we are supposed to all be saved without faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. It says, in it I'm all sinned. In Christ Jesus, we receive justification. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's the arrangement and regard. But like goes ahead and says, no, that's not true. And we are born mere mortal. We are born sinless. And use the Romans thing. That is, until you have the will to be able to say yes or no to Jesus, you are still mere mortal and you are not sinless. So the question is, are you born into the world as a sinner? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what I'm saying.
Yes,
you are born into the world as a mere mortal, what to choose. And again, like what I'm saying, I'm just proponent of what people are saying. And it happened just after the 100 years when Jesus Christ had, you know, risen from the dead. There were lots of heresies. A lot of people were doing a lot of cookings. Just what I'm saying. People were just cooking, saying some very funny things. I mean, some very, very, very funny things. Someone just sit down, make and a lot of arguments in that time. So they had what was called,
you were saying something. If I'm right, Pelagius, wait. Let me confuse us. So someone said that, okay, babies are sinless. They don't know what.
Somebody said that, then that's Pelagius.
Yes. So they now have a baby. And Augustine said that.
Robert, yeah, before I forget, you guys should check on Marcion. Sorry, I'm talking about that. Marcion was the one who said the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. He was M-A-R-C-I-O-N. He was the one that brought in that heresy. So that's where people got that we're now in the season of grace is Marcionism. That proponent of faith is called Marcionism.
Mm-hmm.
You can continue your that God is different. Is, you know, Marcion, Modalism, Arianism, very similar people. All of them need help. Yeah, you can continue your question. That's what Pelagius says.
And maybe we would go to heaven. And some, I also heard from someone that. So the friend said there's something about lineage that a child that is growing. Grows up in the house of the far priest and the rest, and they are taking that child to the temple of idols, and they are chanting things on it, say, on the baby's head, or the child's head. So imagine the let's assume that the child dies. The person has said that there will be a check of lineage, and that will determine whether the young child goes to heaven.
Who does the check on
me? I don't ask the question.
Look at the show 130. Let us see that very quickly. Have we learned something so far?
Yeah.
Marcionism was the one who made that lot of people. And we'll mention some things now. I want to thank everybody for coming around. I mean, by Saturday, everybody's back to school.
So
look at Deuteronomy chapter 1.
God will.
Deuteronomy chapter 1.
Deuteronomy 1.
Yeah, it's not 13 now.
You said 13.
No, verse 39. So, you know, when they sinned now, those guys, and God told them that they're going to spend 40 years and they're going to be destroyed, you know, God retreats them. Look at Deuteronomy 1 verse 39. It says, moreover, your little ones and your children, who say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of what good and evil, shall go in there, to them I'll give it, and they shall what? Possess it. So, what was the mark for people to enter into the promised land? Those people are not revealed. That means they had knowledge of what? They did not have any knowledge of good and evil. So, there's a proponent that states that, of course, if you don't know how to choose between good and evil, of course, God cannot judge you on that basis. And so, until the child is able to have a will. And apparently, children start having wills by 3, 4, at what age?
5, 6.
Psychologically.
There's one distinct that is 6. I can't remember the ego between 6 and 7.
Once they have that ability to be able to make their decisions, but a girl says, of course, they can be able to do that. But of course, it depends from child to child. That's what I'm going to say, because your knowledge of good and evil is also very relative. Yeah. Do you understand? But of course, just saying that, the pass mark to that is the good. They have the knowledge of the good, they have the knowledge of the evil. So Pelagio says, well, if you don't have the knowledge of the good and the evil, of course God cannot judge you on that basis, since God is just. But Augustine says, I don't know if you know Plato. Augustine was like a Plato, they call him a neoplatonistic person. Of course, Plato believes, I don't know if they thought so, Plato believes a lot of stuff, right? One of his arguments is, what is it?
Dualism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's also that.
That's a philosophy.
Augustine is Platonic, but he's Neoplatonic. So he has a lot of arguments. Yeah. And of course, he was one that brought up that argument. And the Romans 3 argument. And interesting, that's what we want to read now. And because we have what is called the Calvinist. Remember that we said we have the creeds. Creed, right? That's what we ended with. So we have a lot of creed. We have the Westminster's Confession of Faith. We have the Nicene Creed. We're going to go to the Nicene Creed. But we have the Calvinist. The Calvinist actually ruled out 5 things. They call it TULIP. T-U-L-I-P. I think we read that before. I've told you guys that before.
Yes,
TULIP, right? TULIP means T is total depravity. U is unconditional election. L is limited atonement. I is irresistible grace. P is preservation of the saint. T is total depravity. Let me read out what it means. Yes, total depravity, unconditional election. Unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. Unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. Of course, total depravity means that we cannot save ourselves. That man is not in control of his will. And they founded the scriptures based on things like Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. All have sinned. They also use 1 Corinthians 2:14. Right to pass. I'm just reading 1 Corinthians 14 says, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And they use John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So they use those 3 texts to explain the fact that you cannot save yourself, and that you're not in control of your will. The unconditional election means that, of course, God saves people based on his will. That's unconditional election. And of course, they use texts like Romans 9, where we read Romans 9:10. Romans 9 is where God says that he chose Jacob and Esau. And it's also that text that they mentioned that God added the act of Pharaoh. And you know, when you read those texts independently, honestly, I'm like a Calvinist. And that's why somebody, I think last year or 2 years ago, asked me, I think it was 2 years ago, or last year, asked me a question about, 2 years ago, asked me a question about, you know, that Calvinism. Until I found out that I think I had some Calvinist mindset too. So I told the person eventually that I don't know what part of the divide I'm standing at. Because of course, when Romans 9 said God chose Jacob, you know, there's no way you can read it
and not really that God actually chose one person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there's no way, there's no explanation in this life that you would use to still explain that he still chose one person. So why did God do it? Why did God not choose Esau? Because Rebecca went, you know, she was a prophet though. Let's just say she went to get inquire of the Lord. Of course, it's not like that's just saying that she was a prophet. She knew by God's spirit that God was going to choose Jacob and Esau. That's why she was planning Jacob's life based on that promise. But of course, Paul was mentioning that even though Rebecca was trying to pattern Jacob according to promise, this was still going to be based on what God has said. But eventually, who did God still choose? Jacob. So the question that you are now asking, if God chose Jacob, why then did God call Esau in Hebrews 12 depraved? You know, Hebrews 12 says that when he sold his birthright, you know, that Hebrews 12, and called him a worthless thing. So why did God, if God chose, do you understand the point? So Calvinist now says, of course, God chose them, but God is God's will and cannot argue. Calvinists also believe the fact that the Pharaoh, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. We don't have the time. We'll say that in hermeneutics, we have that later. You know, we are back home again. Where hermeneutics is the one we are going to look at the term hardened and hardened and hardened. But this is just Christology. The God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Let's think about it. Did he? He did not. So that is also a Calvinist point of view. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
So are you saying Pharaoh did not have a will? Are you seeing where I'm standing now?
Yes.
Do you understand this kind of question? So that's why eventually, I mean, when you get back to school and you're getting to teach people, or you get to ask people ask some questions, honestly, you can take them through Calvinism, Arianism, all this point of view, but leave them with the question mark that you yourself are not able to answer the question. Unless you also, you have to choose between standing as either a Calvinist or an Arminianist that believes that we have free will. Do you understand my point? So you just stay in a safe spot. Say they ask me, I actually don't know. Do you understand? So it's safer for me. So till I'm able to get a final answer, it's safer for me to say, I don't know. You like that? Of course not. Do you understand? So they believe in that. Then that's usually. Then there's L. L means limited. Of course, Romans 8:29. We must have read that before. And for those whom he foreknew, he predestinated, he conformed to the image of his son, that may be the firstborn among the brethren. Limited atonement states that, of course, God's saving grace is for a limited set of people. That's what they believe. If they had the body, I'd have drawn how they describe it. So they describe that it's for a limited set of people. So in Nigeria now, God already, salvation is only for 40%. So the question I always ask is that if God already knows, why then go to preach? Since he knows. Since he has already chosen the people he's going to save. And so why am I going to preach the gospel to all the world? If he has already marked those in the world he's going to save. Do you understand my point?
Yes.
What's the point of going to all the world to preach? If all the world is only 40% that you have marked to preach to save. So people say things like, every time we go and preach the gospel to somebody, and a person believes, God marks them to be saved. Beautiful stuff, John 16. They use the spirit that the spirit of truth convicts the heart. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they believe. Then irresistible grace. Of course, irresistible grace means God has called Victor to be a pastor. He's going to be a pastor. And he cannot receive. Then the last one is perseverance of the saints. And that's where they got the text of eternal salvation from. Let me read the text for you. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, gives me a gospel now. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 6:35. He who comes to me will never thirst. John 6:44. I'll raise him up at the last day. Philippians 1:6. He who begun a good work in you will what? Perform it. Philippians 2:12. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. It is God that what? Worketh in you. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Jude 1:20. Now unto him that is able to free you, save you from falling. Ephesians 1:13, you are sealed the Holy Spirit of promise. Romans 8:28, we are all things work together for the good of them that love God. Romans 8:35, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Have you seen it?
Yes.
So look at all these texts. Perseverance of the saints. So you can say that there are ones that you believe in it, right? And there are also ones that you also have question mark for. my point. Right? So we are reading texts like Romans 9 and we're asking ourselves such questions like, what does it really mean? You know, Romans 9. The Arameans believe otherwise.
They believe in, let me just read that to us, we close. Have we learned something so far?
Yes, yes.
What's even that enough now? I mean, the Arameans believe in.
Election, they believe in universal redemption, and they believe in the gospel of universalism. The gospel of universalism. Am I too fast, Savior? Yeah, just shocked. But, yeah, the gospel of universalism is the gospel that states that the whole world is going to be saved. Amen. Right. Eventually, have you heard that before?
Yes.
The whole world will be saved. You've heard that before, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard that before. It's called the gospel of universalism. Beautiful text, Habakkuk 2, just as the waters covers the sea. You know, verse 24, my glory, as I said, Lord, my glory is going to fill you the land. I think there's one in Haggai 2 too. So, they believe in that. There's the ability to resist. They say that when you go and preach the gospel to somebody, the person has the ability to resist, and it's of the person's will. And they also believe that you can fall from grace. They believe that, as much as they believe in human will, they believe that if you are saved by your will, you can also lose your salvation. So you can see, you cannot be completely Arianist. Do you understand what I'm saying? Arianists believe that you have free will. You believe you have free will. They believe that conditional election is based on your choice. They believe that God wants to save everybody. They believe that you can resist. But they now believe that you can actually lose your salvation. God is sovereign. They believe that God is sovereign, but he has a limited control. That is ironic. Isn't it? He's sovereign, but has limited control. It means he's not sovereign. Are you saying what I'm saying now?
Mm-hmm.
So those are questions that even me I'm dropping to us as we wrap up this evening. I'm dropping to us to, you know, further support our Bible study and to ask ourselves very reasonable questions. I mean, this phase of my life where, of my time of Bible study where I'm asking lots of questions. So I'm having to read a lot of resources. That's what I'm saying. Of commentaries, of that's queen, of people. Because in my head I've heard a lot. And real truth is best to be established in the basics. What's the basics? Read the Bible and pray with it. That's what I'm saying. That's why I started with Romans 14. We're not judging. But you'll be confronted eventually. People ask, is it good to be baptized? Is it good to eat? I'm serious. Is it good to eat communion? And I'll lie to you. I told someone last week. I said, if I told you I'm not more confused than I've been, I would lie. I said, I'm just like you. Because the point of Bible study is to end up in true worship. It's to end up to worship God. So why are we arguing over things that doesn't make sense? Are you hearing me? Do you understand? Why are we doing that? And you know, for about 1 week now, my mind has been bogged. I mean, of course, I read my Bible, praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
It's not 1 week now, it's about some months. You know, so I've been more intentional. Should I even mention that? I was somewhere, and the person was mentioning some things. I'm like, this is the same thing. Like, do you understand? Like, there's a difference between, I know this thing.
Yes, yes.
But it's a difference between, why are you saying something else that is not here? That's not my point.
Okay.
In fact, what made me know this modalism, Sabellianism, and the rapport was I attended I was somewhere, so I needed to, I was in a class. Of course, I didn't join the full class. It was a Christology class. And of course, I knew it was going to be Luke 24, 27. First time around, they mentioned things like modernism, docentism, Sabellianism. And what does it even mention? Adoptionism. For the first time in my life, I said to myself, no, of course, not the first time, I always say it. But this time, I look at myself and I said, I don't know anything. Like, I said, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Like, I just said, I said, okay, what do I do? So I said, okay, I'll be more intentional. So that's what made me find out what First John was really about. Is somebody coming? Okay, that's what made me find out what First John, you know, the book First John was really about, the book John was all about. Because there's just a lot. That's what I'm saying. And even if you come into my head now, you know, there's a lot of pieces of information that I want to bring together. So the proof, that's why we took out this long number of hours to just look at it together. And because the real proof of Bible study is not for you to be in a history and comment, condemn people, and shout at people and tell them you are wrong. In 2021, till now, there are many things we have corrected, adjusted, revamped, right, and even worked on. Because the goal for every Bible study is to be a better person. So your Bible study is not Duolingo, that you're trying to keep up a streak. So at the end of the year, you say, I've covered 365 and you don't know anything. You know what I'm saying? It's good to read your Bible every day, but it's not Duolingo. The reason why you're reading your Bible is because you want to know God. You want to know God beyond the surface. I want to know God and I know God. You know what I'm saying? I want to. See, that's my desire, to know God. And so every tape that I'm downloading, every video on YouTube I'm watching, every money I am spending to buy books, it's not because I want to teach it. Of course, eventually, I'm not using the material here. But it's because I want to know God. I'm not boring you. Some weeks ago, somebody also sent me a piece of the material. Person sent me a piece of the material. Person sent a whole lot of bad stuff for a person I really admire and look up to. And I was lying down at night, and I just came up over from church, and I just saw it. And I said, okay, thank you, man. I'm grateful. Is she telling me the truth? I don't know. And I say the truth, I don't know either. I don't think God's purpose for the church is to cause division. If I'm privileged, I attend RCF, and my pastor in RCF says this, I won't say otherwise. Are you listening to me? That's God's purpose, can't be division. So I know people who have let this stuff speak in tongues. I know people who, I'm not trying to mock the person, but I know this person because, of course, we've been together for a long time. And she was leading prayer one day, and the prayer was English. There's no problem praying in English, don't get me wrong, it's good. So you cannot intercede for souls like this. Oh, they save. They say somebody is going to perish. She has speaking English, Father Lord. Touch his heart. It does not touch you. Father Lord, touch his heart. They are saying you want to burn for Jesus for the next 5 years. And then, I just pray in the name of Jesus. I burn for you for the. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray in English. You know, but it's the way prayer touches your heart that it goes beyond tongues. And all you are doing is you are just shouting and groaning. That's what I'm saying. There are times where you pray so much, you don't have any words left on your heart. And all you can just say is, God help me. And that was the essence of why I, you know, said, let's do Christology. Because, you know, we all need prayers. Do you understand what I'm saying? We do need prayers. And this year is a year where we're going to war a lot of faith wars. you would hear a lot of things. Particularly, I mean, it's going to, but you hear a lot of things, a lot of people reach out, a lot of people say a lot of stuff. You see people say a lot of things. But it's good that you're establishing what you know now. In the basics. In just reading a Bible, in just praying. And just when people ask you a question, saying you don't know. I'm not God, so I don't know everything. So I can't say I don't know. There are times when people ask questions and I know the questions they're asking had things that are behind it, has even notice behind it. And I say I can't answer it. Or I just try to maneuver my way around it. That's that question time and time. Like, can we lose our salvation? I said, well, it's not a question to ask if you can or should you lose it. The question is, do you want to stop believing in Jesus? I think that's a more safer way to answer that question. Do you want to, if you want to stop believing in Jesus, all right, go and determine by yourself. But me, I don't want to stop believing in Jesus. So as long as I don't want to stop believing in Jesus, I believe what God says. So I'm not trying to attack or fight, you know. And wherever we go, you know, as much as we're going back to school, going back to our local assemblies, we can be very effective there and just listen and follow instructions. Hallelujah. Because there's no way you can learn Christology and what's in your head is division. It's unity. God brings us up together. Ephesians 1 says that God has brought all things into one head in Christ. So you cannot be in that assembly and in a person division. Max, God put you in that assembly so that you can ensure that people learn the truth. And he'll give you the opportunity. He'll open doors for you to do so. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, what is 2025? No, I think it's just a year to know more, God more. Get more resources. Do you understand? Buy more tapes. Do you understand? Listen to the word. Like, listen to the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hear the word. That you're practically working right. I remember there was one time I listened to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Just one morning. But of course, you know, I've read it so many times. Do you understand? Yeah. And then the times I'll just go back to the century. Like just one sitting. You know I'll do Bible now. Yeah. I know Bible is really good. So I just walking by the road, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I think I stopped at 1st or 2nd Thessalonians. You just read it through. And I just say, I don't do anything now. Can I just read through it? And I just say, it's been a while I read 1st John. It's been a while I read 3rd John. So let me just read three together. It's been a while your pastor is teaching, just mentioned for a book of the Bible that has been a while you read it. I said, that is true. What's the book here? Let me go back to this. Because Bible study is not Duolingo. The real essence of Bible study is that we want to worship God. So the real proof of what we learned this evening is not for us to go and attack people, but rather to go back to search it, go back to read on it, go back to download materials on it, to becoming a better person. So finally, as I close, they now had what was called the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed was what brought forth what is called this Trinity. Let me read the Nicene Creed for you as we go. Now, which of the materials has Nicene Creed? This one. I think this one also has. So let me read the Nicene Creed for you as we go. Have we learned something today?
Yes, sir.
Nicene Creed says, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father, before all ages, God from God. Look at what they did. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. You know why they said not made? Because they were trying to attack Arius. Arius said Jesus was made. He's not begotten. They said consubstantial with the Father. Consubstantial means that they are one. Okay, there's no distinction. It says, through him all things were made. For us, men, and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again the third day, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom have no end. And I say finally, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Have you seen what they are doing? It says, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophet. I believe in one holy, Catholic, an apostolic church. Catholic then means universal. So whether we are Methodist, we are Baptist, we are Presbyterian, we are Anglican, we are Pentecostal, we are Reformed, we are Charismatic, it says that we believe in one church. It says the church, I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward towards the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Which is called the Nicene Creed. I-N-I-C-E-N-E. It's called the Nicene Creed. It was given at the Council of Nicaea. Nicaea. I don't know.
Is it Nicaea?
No, just Nicaea.
N-I-C-E-A.
C-N-E, Nicaea. Because during that period, there was a lot of persecution. Oh, God. You know, that time. I don't know if you guys have ever heard about Emperor Constantine before. You know, was a man who was the one who helped the preaching of the gospel in the states. In the states of Rome. Hallelujah. It was one that helped. So you can check it out. We have other creeds too. We have the Creed of Constantinople and other creeds. But I think we are going to end as the creed that was given at Nicaea, which affirms that Jesus is God, yet a man. Hallelujah. He's 100% God, 100% man. And the Bible assures us that God became a man, he died for us and was raised as man. So we have God, a man, who died for man, right? And he also rose as a man. So we give praise to that God who died for man and was raised from the dead. So hallelujah, God is raised from the dead. He's alive in us today by his spirit, and we can do all things in him by his spirit. Hallelujah. God is not dead, God is alive. We might not be able to see him or touch him, but does not still negate the reality that God incarnate is alive. And that's why in pneumatology we run into history and we look about certain people like Caesar Augustus, Herod, Pontius Pilate, even Paul, that were very actually really existed. Since they did exist, it means this Bible is also very true. And you know what? Treat it as the word of life. Carry it every morning, every evening, or whatever your schedule is. Listen to the word, pray the word, do the word, and you'll see the effect of the word. We've been blessed this evening.
Yes, sir.
Are we sure?
Yes, sir.
What a way to end it. Any questions in 5 minutes so that we can go? Any questions? So I brought this guy because if you check Strong's Concordance, Strong does this.